Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the NXT review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanflut and Michael Sidgwick, here to review everything that happened on last night's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review the show formerly known as NXT, but pay-per-views, premium live events, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, they're joined by Hamlet and Sidgwick to review NXT. What did you make of last night's show?
Pretty weak.
Not so good, Al. They were chasing a bit of that elusive acclaim that NXT has had a couple of times this year for its in-ring, and they just kept chasing it, basically. They never caught it, unfortunately, in terms of the matches. And the skits, look, I love NXT for being the skit show that it is. Like, it's the stuff that we get to luxuriate in when we're previewing it. I have no complaints about it, but what can you say about these tremendous stories? Perhaps they've just all peaked. And yeah, there's just nowhere to go but down now. So the more TV time there is to fill, the more you can only dilute what is already perfection.
Pretty weak. Weak for my favourite storyline in WWE.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame. It's one of those where it's like, oh, we're getting to the end. It's like, you know that famous Do-Fixer Blood Generation ROH Trios match? when there's 2 minutes left and the fans sense that the finish is imminent and they just helplessly chant, please don't stop.
Yeah.
That's what it was like for me watching the latest saga in the Kiana James.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Brooks Jensen.
Yes.
Love triangle. I made the mistake every now and then. I just go on Squared Circle.
Oof.
And you read the post NXT discussion.
Ooh, I've never looked at that.
Oh my, they take it seriously. It's like, it's the weirdest thing. Like, oh God, it's so good. It's, what a great episode this was. Everything just makes sense. Like, does it? Because I watched one of the worst segments you'll ever see on wrestling television last night or this morning. Oh my God.
There was a character who we've seen before who is now a superhero.
Seems that way. Yep.
So I don't really know how anyone could sit there and go, I'm glad this all just
what's
adds
this
up. Bird person's little thing. Where she was like jumping through running through a, I don't know, a warehouse or something. Like,
she was sort of like springboarding off the walls, but like she's a human.
How have I forgot this?
The problem they had with it was she's a person, not a bird.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So like she sprung off a wall at one point, but it looked a bit like, you know, when Michael, Andy and Dwight are going, parkour, parkour, and just kind of like bouncing into things. It wasn't her fault.
All she has to do, the second the bell rings in that ladder match for which she qualified, is just jump onto the top turnbuckle, leap off it.
Yeah.
She doesn't even have to flap a wing and just retrieve the title.
Maybe it's like, you know, in TNA with Ultimate X, where you weren't allowed to use a ladder, you had to use the cables.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe bird person can't use her bird abilities. She's got to climb the ladder. They should make that clear. Look, I'm sick of...
No.
Like, it's like we should be told that in advance. And I don't like these companies just assuming that they can drop dream match graphics and stuff without full and frank explanation. So I want that rule laid out for getting it.
I still enjoyed elements of this show, of course. Yeah. There is something that's made me feel sick ahead of Stand and Deliver.
Because you get your heart broken three times.
I said to Hamper when I got in this morning, that day is going to be, it's going to go one or two ways, that in it, and I'm going to be, I mean, WrestleMania Night 1 could well be ruined for me by what happens.
Before you're even in the building.
Indeed. Yeah. But as always, as we say with NXT, regardless of, you know, like you say, the in-ring action or whatever you're holding, the standard you're holding it to, there's always something one show a week that takes your breath away. And that happened on last night's show. But what was it? We'll find out in due course. We'll start at the beginning of the show because it comes out with, well, the big video package on Gargano and Grayson Waller. And then it's time for ESB! Pretty deadly to convolutedly set up the main event of the night. They're the hosts, of course, of Stand and Deliver, and they say it's in their first official act as hosts. They are wiping last week's footage from the NXT archives where Gallus, the neck-bearded pricks or whatever it was, cheated to win against them, and no one will ever see them get put through a table by Bron Breakker and Carmelo Hayes.
Stop just there. How's that work? You are the host of Stand and Deliver. Ergo, you can delete network footage from an NXT from last week because you're on this week's
They're
NXT.
Heels. They say silly things.
No.
It's that famous phrase, Hamlet. History is written by the hosts. So they said, in fact, if it weren't bloody oaths, those two rascals from the main event last week wouldn't even make it to Stand and Deliver. And of course, this brings out Carmelo Hayes and our favourite Trick Williams. And Trick's like, I did tell you last week to shut your mouth, mind your business. And that's why you got table service.
Huh?
You said, Mello said, keep my name out of your mouth, basically. And Elton said, oh, well, I didn't say your name. Actually, it was a kit. Trick's like, mind your business. This is the future NXT champion, don't forget. We talk their talk, walk their walk. And then Elton's like, I'm sorry, I think it might have been a breakdown of communication here. We only speak the King's English. Look, you want a match? Let's have a bare knuckle fight then. Even if it risks the main event of Stand and Deliver, let's have it. And Trick says, fair enough. Tonight, main event of NXT. I don't know when he became head booker, but still. Pretty Deadly versus Carmelo Hayes and Bron Breakker. Even this takes Mello by surprise. Pretty Deadly attacks them, but Bron comes down to make the save. He lays out Elton, gorilla presses Kit over the ropes onto him and helps Mello up and says, hey, I don't want anything happening to you between now and Stand and Deliver.
Like over a century. This. Like, how do people still watch WWE television? I just don't understand how... If they are not getting paid for it, do they still watch this? The most fake, repetitive, cliched drivel. Why do people watch it? It's an honest question. Why?
Well, because most of the time the power's back and it's awesome.
Right.
I just thought the segment sucked.
One thing I didn't understand outside of the Teddy Long special, Jesus Christ, it's 2023, is that Carmelo seemed taken aback by Trick Williams' offer. Challenge.
Yeah.
Wasn't the whole idea about 3 or 4 weeks ago that Trick just entered such a great babyface performance that maybe he realized he had aspirations of his own and maybe Carmelo was a bit put out by the fact that a lot of people were putting respect on Trick's name. Now he's doing a heel thing to further tease that split.
They can't make their mind up, can they? Change every week.
I don't get it. Yeah. I don't know if I don't get it or if they just can't decide themselves with Trick and Mello especially. Because I still do not like this Mello Bron Breakker thing at all.
That sucks.
It's a dreadful build, this.
Youngest main event.
Cool.
Kept saying that.
Like, what about, like, but banged on about this for years. Like, I don't care what the wrestler's ages are. It's about the character ages. And these two feel absolutely ancient on this brand already. And it's not this. It's not what they're telling you it is or what I think a lot of people want it to be. Which is the dream match that we've waited years for since 2.0 started. These two have been on a collision course now. They've been a part of that long, and I've no doubt WWE will make a playlist before WrestleMania that will make it seem like it's been written in the stars for them. It does not feel one bit like that. It feels like, well, Melo's got to have it now. Like, it's now or never. I'll get off the pot for him. And Bron's fulfilling his duties before he leaves. Like, it's just a... And, like, if he wins, both of them are going to feel exponentially weaker for it. If he wins for the surprise factor... Mello cannot get it done, and so Breakker's just stuck here forever, is he? I'm just getting no satisfaction from what I'm being sold as this end-of-the-world type, finally it's happening match. It's the opposite.
It's the opposite. And I've said it before, and I'll reiterate it here. They've crapped the bed about a third or a half of the time.
Hmm.
Can't sell me on the two best finally meeting when the two best have flattered to deceive all too often.
Yeah.
This is a cliche of a segment.
Well, they follow it up by having a little meeting backstage between Mello and Trick going, are we really doing the whole can they coexist thing? I was thinking the exact same thing, to be perfectly honest. But Trick explains, no, this is so you can have the cheat codes, get a close-up of Bron and scout him tonight ahead of your match. Can't he just watch footage?
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. It was a qualifier next.
Well, you know, I think it was Gary Neville, for our American listeners. Gary Neville was a genuinely fantastic right back in the game of real football, the one which is played with one's foot. And they were saying that whenever they watch a match on Monday Night Football or, you know, Super Sunday or whatever, that they don't watch what we watch at home. They watch like what is effectively the hard cam.
Oh.
So that they can see every single movement from a player they want to. If there's a player who has like a blinder, they can just watch them off the ball at all times, even if they're not in action being filmed presently. So maybe, and I'm defending the logic of NXT here, maybe, just maybe, there is something to not watching it on TV so you can see every single pattern of play.
It's a good point, that. It made me think then. I remember growing up, do you remember they used to have that? I'm not sure if they still do. Like a dedicated player camera.
Yes, on the red button.
I never watched that once.
It was rubbish. It was rubbish.
And I got a very much irrational fear. I thought, oh, God, when I become a professional footballer, what if it catches me picking my nose? Right, well, there's a kind of a big hurdle to get there first, young Adam, but still.
Do you ever play on, was it FIFA that like they had like a career mode?
And you play where you had to player,
play as one player. It's rubbish. Like, people love it.
James tried it on his most recent title.
Yeah.
And he got bored and just decided to do the manager thing instead.
You have to make yourself a striker and wait. You make yourself a defender and just sit there and, like, clear the ball. Like, tackle and clear. Or you're a midfielder and you do everything.
Yeah.
And you just, like, knock yourself out, basically.
I'd be getting Harry Kane just dropping into me. Give me the ball, lads.
Yeah, give me the ball.
On Pro Evo, you could just make yourself and put yourself in teams.
As it should be.
Yeah.
That was 99 and everything, of course.
Put yourself up
front. I was about 6'7" and insanely rapid.
The Adriano stats.
I had the Adriano, but better. Like, so it was like the Adriano, except like an extra 10 yards out. I'd smash it in for 40 yards.
I remember playing that. I only played it for one.
It says so.
I didn't play it for an entire season, but I remember playing on one of the FIFAs, and I made myself, and I was like, obviously, I'm going to sign for Chesterfield, my beloved team. But I had it on probably the wrong setting, far too easy a setting. So I was bagging like 6 goals in the lower leagues or whatever. And because the game was kind of screwed and it would just say, oh, once you get a certain level of performance, you'll get picked for England. Well, I was getting 10s every game because I was like scoring and assisting and just doing everything. So it was like, so the team going to the World Cup for England will be Paul Scholes, David Beckham, Ashley Cole, and Chesterfield's Adam Wilborn as a prize addition to the team. Soon as he scored, checks notes, 80 goals this season. Ridiculous. But anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, NXT.
Yeah.
And it was time for a qualifier for that NXT Women's Championship ladder match. Just a quick aside, great to hear that the sort of reports around Roxanne Perez's real reason for the collapse have all cleared up, which is fantastic news to find out about. So she'll probably be returning in the immediate aftermath, let's say, of this.
So she isn't going to be the mystery person in the match defending the belt? They're going to have an interim situation?
It's a good point.
Drop back in to win?
They're just doing the whole second chance thing, aren't they, next week with all the bloody losers.
All losers.
It was Indi Hartwell versus Tiffany Stratton. And Stratton clotheslines are down to start. They fight to the apron. Hartwell gets dropped off it to take us to a break. When we come back, Stratton's in control, is stomping her down, but gets caught with a belly-to-back suplex. She misses a springboard swanton and gets hit with a spinebuster by Indi Hartwell for a 2 count. But she comes back, hits Indi Hartwell that rolling fireman's carry slam and nails the best moonsault ever to get the 1-2-3. You both said on the preview yesterday she needed a good match. Did she have it here?
Nice bit of business, this, I thought. Like, the best thing she's done since coming back, which then means you can potentially put it down to rust if she carries on, you know, especially for the experience level of some of these wrestlers, like they're going to take just as long to get good in the first place as they are to shake off the rust when they go out for whatever reason. So yeah, like nothing special really. It's becoming this trend now, isn't it? Where like Sol Ruk has got one. Tiffany Stratton's best means like is really, really good. So it's not, I'm not saying it doesn't warrant these things, but they're all being given spots or finishers that kind of get the gif makers on the go.
Pop rocks for Roxanne.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, they're like, look how great they are. Like, she's absolutely awesome. And it's like, well, there's one spot. How does it look over several minutes? And the answer to that is not always good.
They're making a factory of Alicia Foxes.
Yeah, with the Northern Light suplex, that's it. But this was exactly what it needed to be, which was decent. And I think from the standard lately that we've had, like, it's a vast and marked improvement.
Passable.
Moving on, surprise, surprise, Gallus are at the bar talking about how pretty Deadly are behind them. They have to play pool, and in comes the Creed brothers.
One of them put their flagon. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah.
A flagon on the table.
Unacceptable.
Well, what happens if you have a really hard break?
Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
Damages the felt as well. I just hate them.
I hate them. I was saying to this when you were off last week, narrowed down why I hate Gallus, apart from the fact that they're really, really boring bastards.
Yeah.
Is that once when I was out in Leeds.
Oh, yeah.
Like, kind of, just an unfriendly city for me.
I love Leeds.
Personally. I never had a great time in Leeds. No. I love the rural areas surrounding it. Went into a pub once, and it was like a mixture of students and townies. I used to hate that expression, as if like the people from the town who actually live here are allowed to drink. Well, they are, except when they're mugging us off.
You get like a lot of that in like Headingley, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Because of it being such a
populated
student area.
Hey, mate, you're wearing a fucking wig. No, it's my hair. That's Gallus.
Yeah.
I think with the Leeds accent is the vowels just fall out of their mouth.
Yeah. And Gallus are the dickheads in the pub who don't like Strokes Head Smiths fans for daring not to be like, not having a short back and naughty haircut.
Especially on the pool table, because they're the ones that don't tell you what the pub's house rules are.
Yeah.
Like, if you put 50p on their table, because you just think that's fair, like,
that's the rules I go by.
Yeah, they give you a look. But then if you think, oh, I was a little bored, I'll put my name on the board. They give you a f***ing look, because they just won't tell you what the rules are. Like, I've never been to this pub before, and I just fancy a game of pool, what's the rule? And that thing where you can't play your mate, you have to play the winner first, and then if you beat them, then your mate can play you.
Really? So I've never had someone do that.
Been in that situation
before. Worst situation I've been in is a pub near Newcastle train station. I won't narrow it down any more than that, where I assumed, like you say, you put 50p, a quid, or whatever it is on the table.
Union rooms.
Yeah. and you're next on.
Is that anyone with a table near there?
Yeah.
And
it used to be as well, is it? Rarely would I put over.
It's exactly the same.
Rarely would I put over.
No, it's exactly the same. Same beer selection with a bit of music.
I feel like I had a bit more to it when it was. Maybe it was just a range, because it's not a great venue. Not a great location, I don't think.
Popped a quid on the table. Thought, right, okay, get around in, and then, you know, they'll nearly be finished by that time. Came back, someone had just stolen my quid. So,
yeah.
Oh, cool, 3 quid on the table.
The people who take the mick out of people like us in those pubs or Gallus, they're the baby faces. Mm. Yeah. Shawn Michaels, but I'll give your head a wobble.
We've got a little what culture gathering tomorrow night. Yeah. We're all, you know, meeting up in the office, a few bit of pizza, and then off to the pub for a few drinks, or in Havel's case, probably a milk. That was Gallus's brilliant put down on here.
He's mad enough.
Yeah. Well, we have to now. Whole milk, probably.
Stress me out about this. Was that dartboard? We haven't even got to it yet.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. They
Pamphlet IPA, Wilborn Lager, Meep Sour.
Yes.
So.
Anyway, Gallus win the game of pool. And Julie says, well, 8-ball's not our game. And I'm like, thank God, wrestling is. Darts is what? So they have some. Their game of darts is also just who can hit the bullseye.
Oh, God, I have so many problems with this. Like, obviously, it's not following the rules of darts, so that was crap. But, like,
did they make a stupid WWE dartboard for this express purpose?
It's an American bar thing. A lot of them have these.
I hate that.
Terrible dartboard. My kid's got one of these dartboards, because then they can't take their eye out with the plastic dart. This is in a pub.
Is it like a magnet thing?
It's the little tiny, like, so it's a plastic dart, obviously, and then the tiny holes, loads and loads of tiny holes. And why it kept bouncing out was because it would hit the ridge, whereas if it was an actual dartboard in a normal pub, it would go in.
Yeah.
It was bouncing out because the dartboards are stupid and plastic. Like, I guess them Americans can't be trusted with sharp implements after one or two flagons.
I'll kill you! Dart's responsible for one of the greatest sportless moments I've ever seen at the end of last year.
That perfect leg.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to use it much on this podcast, one way or another. Anyway, they go, all right, you're good at pool. We're good at darts. Should we sell this, I don't know, in a wrestling ring at Stand and Deliver? They go, that's a good idea. Tag team title match at Stand and Deliver. And I'm like, no, where's the family? And they go to leave. Oh, where are we going? Next round's on the Don and the Underboys. We got business to discuss.
Stand and Deliver business. And Brutus says, it's going to be a long night, and they head back in.
Well, all the lads on a drink.
All not together. Ugh. It's just Gallus, man. Just bring it all down.
Yeah.
Imagine having, like, a lock-in with Gallus. Jesus Christ, he'd give up the...
It'd be the first lock-in I'd ever want to leave.
You give up the drink?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lock-in is about as magical as, like, life gets, I think, a lock-in.
I've never had a lock-in in my life.
No, just, me neither.
It feels magic. Perfect. Gallus would make you leave. You know, actually, I'm going to call this one. Or like open the curtains on your way out in the hope that they get caught. Ruin it for everybody else.
So yeah, we had Tony D and Stacks there. So
just get a takeaway as well. Probably I used to have a lock-in and every now and then we saw like a Chinese takeaway after the lock-in. So having the food with those beers, it's not like it. Pasta's class. The pasta was class.
So we saw Tony D and Stacks there. I'm gonna just open that. Is he there?
Normally, you kind of announce that. Can't see him.
Must be running late today, I suppose.
Oh.
Hopefully, see your latest Stacks.
Oh.
So, bird person's running through an abandoned building for a workout and running through a window to get ready for. Actually, she's not even at Stand and Deliver yet, is she? Oh no, did she win?
Did she
win on this show? Or did she win later?
I can't remember. Last week,
hang on, just keep talking. I'm just going to skip through my notes here. No, she's not even had a match yet.
She was running through a window as prep for a qualifier because Sean told her it was good for Marty. I don't know, like, but she did.
Do you reckon she sort of misheard someone saying, I'm going to motivate you so much, you'll run through walls? She was like, got it.
Maybe she was tired of people saying, oh, if you're such a bird, I bet you wouldn't even know if there was a window there. She was like, watch me, smash right through it and say, I'm more person than bird. Shut up. Like, you made yourself a bird in the first place, stupid c***. Like, it's... this was like a rebadge
thing.
It's yeah. This was like a rebadge, wasn't it? Like they're trying to dial back the bird, dial up the person.
Less bird. Now you're a superhero. You're a feathery superhero now.
And like this or EDM Tatanka later on the show, like picky poison.
I was like, yeah, there's your thing. We get some more.
It's got two of them.
Right, Mackenzie's backstage with Gigi, asking about, you know, how she feels about the ladder match. She says, well, too early to judge right now. Sucks for JT to be injured, but oh well. She said, I won my last ladder match, which I genuinely can't remember.
What was that?
That was that the women's tag title match?
I don't know. Is that ladder match? That's what I'm asking you for, dickhead.
Yes, that was the women's tag title ladder match. It wasn't, though. I don't know.
Anyway, here comes Tiffany Stratton. Okay. Love the confidence you've got going on, but did you see that I just won and now I'm in the match? So now you and every other women's chances just went from possible to absolutely scarred. That world women's championship is...
What? I didn't... Scarred?
Scarred.
What?
Screwed. Right. That women's championship is mine. Oh my gosh. Another Tiffany Pepner. I'm going to win by climbing the ladder all the way to the tippy top. I'm going to love it. Toodles.
Also, I like Booker putting over Toodles afterwards.
Yeah.
He likes Toodles.
Booker T. What match was it where he had an absolute meltdown?
Oh, when he couldn't remember about a ladder match?
Yes.
I think that might have been in the opener, you know.
It was when they were saying, like, you know, that famous one with Bret Hart and the 1-2-3 quid. No, Razor Ramon and the 1-2-3 quid. And then Vic was like, no, I think it was Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels. Because Shawn Michaels, that arsehole, could not... No, I was in that. I was in that. Give me credit for being in that. Correct him right now. And Booker was like, no, I'm pretty sure it was Razor Ramon and 1-2-3 kid.
Booker would be able to hear Shawn as well. And he's like, well, I'm going to... Like, you would assume Shawn's in both their headsets.
Yeah.
Six heads off.
He's been on the first day of the job. of wrestling for like 30 years.
I love Vic's growing frustration with him. It's great as well. I'm not sure about that one book. Look at this guy, book.
Please come. Please let Pat McAfee come back after WrestleMania.
You need to join Chase Hughes a shoot book.
So Wesley comes down to the ring, North American champion, of course, talks about, you know, being champion and why people ask him why he's doing all these open challenges that everyone bloody loves. He says he don't want to be a hypocrite. He won the title in his first shot. He knew he had to give everything he had. Now as champion, he gives everyone a shot at this. Also, he's got a chip on his shoulder to prove himself to the world and to himself that he can compete with the best and deserves to be your North American champion. I don't know what happened with the promo towards the end there. Anyway, so he's seemingly heading towards naming the four other men that are going to be in this match, despite the fact he initially said he'd take on 10. But before he can get there, here comes Dragon Lee. With no introduction, so I didn't know who he was. Dragon Lee comes down, very polite. He says, nice to meet Wes. Came to NXT for the same reason as his, to face the best. Right now, Wes is the best. He loves the chaos. He wants to be part of this open challenge at Stand and Deliver. Wes says, this is what I love. I followed your career from Mexico to Japan. I thought, you know, it'd be a fair few months, 6 to 8 months before we faced off. But yeah, let's make that official. But before we can go any further, here comes JD McDonough. And he says, oh, Wesley, Dragon Lee, the Lees putting over each other. Don't confuse the audience, JD. I'll give the Dragon a pass this week. But sit in the front row and watch me dismantle Ilya Dragunov. Wes, what's your excuse? Wes asks, what your excuse? Well, what's your excuse, actually, JD, when Ilya beats you? So, as you told. JD says, you wouldn't be standing here at all if I wasn't concentrating on this other prick. And here comes Ilya Dragunov to make things, in his own words.
Oh, very entertaining.
Anything you want to say about this before we move on?
Telegraph the life out of the match that you're trying to get dickheads to say as a banger on Twitter. Why don't you? Telegraph the finish. What else is going to happen here? It all breaks down into more chaos, and they all like chaos, so this is the chaos thing.
Yeah,
but they slap each other with a terrible hockey fight that JD McDickhead has in every single match he ever has.
Before we get to the match,
riveting.
So glad you said that because I wasn't moved by that in the slightest.
I hate that.
They were chasing me a buzz this morning.
I felt guilty about this.
Like, who cares?
I felt guilty. Like people, like, oh, what a hard hitting affair, and it was just
smack each other daft for all I give a f-. I don't care about either of them. They're both not good television wrestlers.
Yeah.
Before we get to the match, though. Go, I think, to a break. And then when we come back, NXT Anonymous is filming Indy Hartwell flipping out backstage over losing. Zoe Stark walks over, laughs. Indy says, what are you looking at? And Zoe says, not the NXT Women's Champion. Oh!
Got it.
Now.
Sorry, Zoe Stark, but you know it works in wrestling. If somebody gets on you like that, you hit that motherfucker with a car. That's going to happen to you.
Yeah, who did? We need to find out who ran over Nikki.
It was Indy Hartwell.
Indy Hartwell.
Now, we're a little bit delayed on today's podcast, and that's because I have been analysing what came next in frame by frame, Sige, and I've discovered a little thing called micro-expressions, micro-aggressions, something like that, where your face, if you know what to look for, gives away what's going on, okay? So Kiana James is backstage.
Right, okay.
Fallon Henley comes up, and Kiana's like, oh, sorry about last week, but anyway, hey, tag team champions, don't deliver! And Fallon's like, don't give me that bollocks. I know everything that's going on. She's like, what are you talking about? And she says, I know about Sebastian. And if you just really, if you slow the footage down, there's just a slight, massive, from Kiana James. And she goes to explain it. And Fallon's like, save it. I've seen everything. I was in your office. I broke in there last week. And Kiana's like, how'd you get past security? And Fallon's like, no, it doesn't matter. Here's the photo of the card. And again, if you slow the footage down, Kiana goes, oh, bollocks. How do you sleep at night? Says Fallon. I never should have trusted you. I'm going to tell Brooks everything. And Kiana's like, yeah, go on. Run and tell him everything. Screw everything up before the biggest match of our career. And then Fallon says, I thought this was quite interesting. You might not care about him, but I do.
She wants to bang him.
No. They're going to have sex, aren't they?
Yeah.
We have full penetrative vaginal intercourse. At a minimum, there's other things that can do.
Yep.
There's other things that Brooks Jensen wants to do. Mm-hmm. What else could he do?
Oral. Anal. 69.
Finger.
Yep.
I mean, cowgirls kind of
yep.
adjacent to what they are, isn't it, basically?
He'll tell us all about it on, like, the NXT after WrestleMania.
Reverse cowgirl. Nah. You might want it. But.
Except he'll just go, me on top, her on top.
Bed.
Both laying down, side on a side.
It's that Friends thing, isn't it? Like, where's the craziest place you had sex? I'd have to say the end of the bed.
Right, more on this later. Because it's time for the hard-hitting affair between JD McDonagh and Ilya Dragunov. They knock 7 bells out of each other, basically. Grudge match of the ages here. Back and forth. Exchanging of forearms takes them both down.
The dark ages, because it shouldn't take place in front of cameras. They're boring.
Dragunov grabs some rolling German suplexes. The 6-1 line gets a 2 count. JD gets back up as they're fighting on the top rope and throws Ilya down by his hair and then hoists him face first into the bottom rope. Enzo Amore-esque, yeah. You could say, as we go to a picture-in-picture break. When we come back, McDonagh's got his leg wrapped around Dragunov's neck to try and choke him out, but Dragunov reverses that into a submission. Jumping into Zaguri, gets out of it, McDonagh, get into the ropes. Jumping into Zaguri, kicks away at the face. Dragunov plants him, but gets caught with a German suplex. Dragunov kicks him in the head again, but has to fight off a twister this time from McDonagh, and they're talking about the fact that this was what put him out of action before. They fight to the floor, tie up, and bumble into Dragon Lee, who sat there watching the match. McDonagh gets up, cheap shots Dragon Lee, and Dragon Lee gets involved, basically, and the whole thing gets thrown out. And then Wesley flip dives onto all of them out of nowhere and subsequently announces that JD and Ilya get the third and fourth spots in this match. And Axiom later on was going, oh, can I have the fifth? And they're like, oh, no, we're going to have a big battle royal next week.
I just felt nothing for this. They were what they were going for. Yeah. The graph did. Again, I just feel nothing for Ilya Dragunov as a TV character. Just does not fit WWE at all. JD McDonagh, don't like the guy. And watching them do that mandatory hockey fight in every McDonagh match is like such a cliche. It's one of those things that the more you do it, the less it feels like this unbridled, rage-fueled expression of conflict where it's broken down so much and I hate you so much that all I can do is just use everything in my soul to slap you, and if you slap me back, I don't even care to defend myself. I'm just throwing these fists with blind rage. How angry can you get every single time? Such a cliche of a wrestler. I don't care how much he can do things in the right order, how hard he can hit in the right places, how he's technically very, very good at this. As a storyteller, I find it so unbelievably soulless. And the presentation of Dragon Lee, just a guy already. They are specialists in doing an anti-star presentation. He hasn't come in as a big deal. They've told you he's a big deal. They've not shown me. There's no superstar entrance. There's no incredible back and forth against an established star. There's no, oh my God, look at all the stuff he can do in 3 minutes and put someone away so easily. He's literally just become part of the actual furniture in NXT. And he got his ass kicked in this brawl. He gets made a mug of when he gets, like, the chairs thrown into him. The second he starts fighting back and you think, oh, he's going to do something cool, he just gets flattened by Wesley with that aerial. It's an abomination, and no one will talk about it because there's no engagement in burying NXT for doing something worse with an exciting masked luchador than AEW, who get all the crap for it.
Yeah, don't disagree with this at all. Dragon Lee was the best and most obvious example for the comparison to the criticism that people had for the Vikingo tease and the fact that he was just a graphic drop, as if that's not enough, which it is sometimes. Dragon Lee would have been great as a graphic drop wrestler for this match. You have one spot remaining, and then you'd be like, oh, well, actually, Shawn Michaels has got a plan for that spot. Sorry. it's Dragon Lee. And then the implication is that at Stand and Deliver, if Shawn Michaels is willing to just put him straight in the match, oh my God, what's he going to do? A bit like how Tony Khan is willing to put the Kingo against Kenny Omega because, oh my God, what's he going to do? There's like an implied get excited. Like if you, not to like veer into Dynamite, but let's talk about Dragon Lee instead. If you've never ever seen Dragon Lee before and WWE have shown you no highlights, if you just watch WWE, there's that justification. The point of that should be cool. Like if you just tell me he's a big deal, then I'm in a better position than somebody that's seen him before.
Because this is how the Shinsuke match happened.
Yeah, this is gonna be, like he would have been brand new to so many people. But all they had to tell you was, man, if Sami Zayn is that buzzing to get this match, and this match is getting this much of a buzz, I cannot wait to see what's in front of me in Shinsuke Nakamura. Like I had that with Takeshita. Like very much so. I think I'd seen probably clips. I'd definitely never seen a full Takeshita match on like ever before. Like AEW picked him up, but I could infer and I could see from little clips. And you don't even need that for a Dragon Lee. And yet, what they have shown you is immediately weak in his aura on the match. Because I sometimes feel a bit guilty when they go as hard as they obviously did here, and I just feel like I want to wave it away and say waste my time because it was as a fan. Truthfully, I know people really like this style. But my preference to this style, and I say more for Dragunov than McDonagh, because I just think Dragunov's got more. If you can say what these two have got's charisma, he's got more of it, of this particular style. I only really like watching this when it's against somebody that doesn't work this way. Maybe Walter's the exception, but like, let's say Dragunov and a Bron Breakker, for example, because Breakker doesn't wrestle like this, and Dragunov's going to try and beat him with this style of his. This mirror match thing is absolutely for some complete, like, dick grabbers on cage match with Leicester usernames, but like it's not for me, and I just cannot be arsed with it, and I feel like the slap fight is the embodiment of it. A match like this, we've seen so much of it. You need to be reinventing the wheel. Like I'd be just as critical of a like an empty calorie flippy match on Dynamite. I would, because unless you see something that honestly makes you go wow. If you're not feeling anything for somebody flying 20 feet in the air, then they're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I'm. Exactly the same, and I had the exact same spiritually empty feeling watching the second Action Andretti versus Sammy Guevara match.
Yeah,
just like it's so boring. It shouldn't be. How have you contrived to make this boring? And it's soulless, transparent attempts at trying to get people on Twitter to say certified banger.
Yeah,
right, we're not trying to go Rip Rogers with this, but years and years removed from him saying it. You don't want it to feel like he was like prescient about it, but he kind of was.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bron Breakker is then backstage. Mello and Trick come up. And Mello says, I don't need you saving me. Again, don't want to do this whole can we get along thing. Bron's like, I don't want to do it either. I don't want two clowns. And they're like, huh? He's like, pretty deadly. Or you screwing this up. Trick, you're always up to something. Trick was like, hey, I'm not up to anything. I just want you to share the ring with a future NXT champion. Oh, tag team match tonight. Bet. Then it was time for, well, what we thought, Johnny Gargano to come out. But instead it's Big Body Havi mocking Johnny Gargano. He comes down to the ring. He says, oh, you thought it was Johnny Gargano coming out when his theme and Tron played. You were wrong, weren't you, you idiots? I thought I was going to stand and deliver, but I'm not, because Gargano took my spot. I like how delusional he is.
I like the idea that in your imagination, this was Big Body Harvey's plan for tonight's NXT, and sat and had to wait until Gorilla when they pressed the Gargano buttons and Gargano hadn't yet run.
Yeah.
He's like, here I go. Like that. I love that he'd got the outfit made and everything. I'm quite into that.
He says, Gargano's been out for 12 months whilst I've been the soul of NXT. I've been fighting for 7 years. 7 months. And to be honest, I'd take Big Body Javi over bloody Johnny Wrestling. How many Christmas albums has Johnny got? Anyway, here comes Gargano. He snaps. He attacks Javi, chucks him out of the ring, continuously throws him into the guardrail, and then into the steps. And he gets on the mic and says, I know you're around here somewhere. I know you're listening, Grayson Waller. You want to make this personal? You want to raise the stakes? Let's raise the stakes. I've got a contract in my hand for a match that I know very well. April 1st, Gargano versus Waller. Unsanctioned match. No rules. Anything goes. No one is liable for what I do. Waller appears on the Tron wearing a Candice LeRae t-shirt and says, oh, what's wrong, Johnny? We were upset about it last week. Are you sure you want an unsanctioned match? You really want to embarrass yourself? He says, look, I'm not going to come down there. You bloody bonkers you are. Why don't you hand it to your best buddy Vic? And then I'll sign it. But you can't be. You have to be banned from the building. I don't want you anywhere near it. Otherwise, I won't sign it. Gargano says deal. Hands the contract to Vic Joseph. Tells him to give it to Grayson Waller next week. And then super kicks Big Body Javi for good measure.
I enjoyed this, you know. Found this to be... Like, Gargano isn't a natural playing the hardest guy in the room. Like, that's not to state the obvious or anything. But Big Body Javi was such a good foil that I think they kind of pulled off what they were trying to do here. I like the Big Body Javi mimic. It wouldn't have been something I'd have thought about, and I'm glad they put a little bit of thought into. Gargano's steaming bloody mad, and he's been stewing all week on this. Like, that... He obviously doubled down on his rage, didn't he, by having to beat up Big Body Javi first. Waller's tremendous. Always. I think he's absolutely tremendous.
You're going to kick Vic Joseph's ass next week?
I'd love to see it. I'd absolutely love to see it, but he's, I don't know, I just think his charisma elevates everything he's involved with. I thought this during the Braun feud as well. I think he's massively beyond NXT, but then I sort of think NXT needs him as well, because he's kind of doing a better job of bringing on some wrestlers and some of the more veteran hands they send down there.
I've made the point before of, I think if Grayson is going to be the first Grayson or the next Miz, giving him a run as the top guy in NXT, really can't do him any harm whatsoever. I didn't like this at all. I don't know, I just... An unsanctioned match. It's a bit like SummerSlam 2002. The idea that 24 hours after being jobbed out to Dominic Mysterio clean, Johnny Gargano, after spending 7 years simping Shawn Michaels with his mannerisms, with his really excessively long matches, and now he's sort of being the surrogate replacement for Shawn Michaels. It's like, I just think less of him as a man.
Is he going to wrestle? I mean? Like, wrestle in jeans and cowboy
boots? He feels like he's got absolutely no agency over his career whatsoever. He feels like he is Shawn Michaels' puppet, doing Shawn Michaels' things. Like, it's a curse. And for him to just, you know, embody Shawn Michaels so gleefully after Shawn Michaels' best mate treats him like dirt on that main roster, it feels like Stockholm Syndrome at the minute. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I just... kind of take him seriously. I was wondering what he's doing with his career. Is he happy being Shawn Michaels' masturbation lube?
Maybe.
Is that... Shawn Michaels is jerking himself off with this NXT product. That's what he's doing. He is glorifying his own career and the memorable beats in it with, oh, what did I do? That was so great. That could make my great television show even better. That's Shawn Michaels. He's an egomaniac with his NXT at the minute. With the Roxanne Perez, with the concussion Owen Hart stuff, with the barbershop window, now doing an unsanctioned match. And Johnny Gargano is an instrument with which Shawn Michaels makes himself feel like a great wrestling legend. And it's honestly, it's pathetic.
I mean, ever since he's had the pencil in that dick grabber of his, You know, he's like been able to sort of get the plaudits for growing this show slightly, and maybe it's that's that's raced to his head.
Yeah,
and like maybe that's that feeling of like, ah, oh, fantastic, and what's left in the tank? All the stuff I did, one after another, after another, after another.
Just so egotistical as a booker, and then frivolous nonsense. Realistically,
yeah,
we enjoy it, but not for what it is.
Enjoy it because it's frivolous nonsense most of the time. Yeah.
Then we got a vignette for Carl Fredericks, a.k.a. Eddie Thorpe. He's talking about his heritage, responsibility of progression. He'll lead his people forward. He's at a DJ table. I don't know what's going on here, I'll be honest, boys.
From the dream catcher to the decks. Like,
is he basically saying, I'm not going to embody the Chief J. Strongbow Tatanka cliche?
Yeah, I think so.
But I am still proud of my heritage.
Maybe. He was embodying quite a lot of it before he said he wasn't going to. I don't know.
He likes don't it. Lead with it.
Likes EDM. He's banging to David Guetta. Like, that's fine.
We'll have some fun on the preview with that next week. Mackenzie's chatting to Ivy Nile about Tatum Paxley walking out on her. She says, "I it took me ages to let my guard down and I immediately got burnt. It hurts when she hears us say that we were never a team. But she's going to fight for a spot at Stand and Deliver later." Then we get another vignette showing Hank Walker's journey through NXT so far. Says he's been an athlete his whole life, but nothing prepped him for NXT. It's been a wild ride, including Drew Gulak, of course, taking him on and then turning on him. Says, yeah.
How did he end up in arena security? Like, Hank Walker, I've been an athlete all my life.
He's in like...
They get the PC trainees, the NIL recruits. It's canon that they go through canon, security first.
I thought the whole deal was like, hey, you did all right out there.
That's the one occupational gimmick that makes sense. I'm sure they established at some point that the young trainees are, the security guys are aspiring trainees who just have to do this other job.
Fair enough. It just seems but so surprising. But then again,
not very good security guards. The idea is it to, well... Is it to break up any fights that happen?
Yeah.
Or is it to not let people on the premises? Because they're terrible at that. Yeah. In reality and in storyline canon, they've had like break-ins and everything.
Has anyone seen it in the car park ever?
It's car park stuff. It's so stupid. The worst episode of Dynamite ever is 100 times better than any WWE television product from 1999 onwards.
We need to re-review the worst episode of Dynamite ever and confirm that. What is it?
It'll be one from the...
What else happened on the one with the...
It wasn't a terrible show.
Dynamite.
I remember it.
It had a botched but still fantastic, because how could it not be Lucha Brothers versus Paige and Omega match? The actual Young Bucks SCU main event was just this great sprint. There was some other stuff on there that was good. It was Chris Jericho, Jungle Boys, 10 minutes. Like,
Wasn't there a stinker like after Tony Khan fixed everything on that January 1st one? It was like a very early, I know like early 2022.
The week after, it was Luther's debut. Yeah. The rest of it was really quite That's good.
Probably what I'm thinking of then.
One of the worst Dynamites ever was the Malakai Black Brock Anderson main event Dynamite.
Yeah.
Or one of the ones after Double or Nothing 2021, where it's like, oh my God, the power's back, fans are back. And Cheeseburgers and Mark Henry and Andrade in the same segment. Yeah.
Saturday run.
Yeah. Anyway, Walker continues.
Better than any episode of WWE television after 1998.
I liked Rory's Triple X. Really enjoyed that show.
Yeah, same.
But 1,000.
Yeah, there's about two contenders at best.
3 hours a week.
Yeah.
30 years.
I think that's a big out too from 30 years. So, anyway, he says guys like Drew Gulak and Jalen Dempsey, they say he's not cut out for this, but he's going to prove them wrong. He's not changing who he is. He's evolving. That's what NXT's all about. And Gulak and Dempsey are watching. And Gulak goes, that's cute. Dempsey's like, that's one way to look at it. And Gulak says, the mentor can open the door, but you have to walk through. And that's why Walker's always just going to be just another guy. No offense, I don't care about a single thing in this.
No, I wrote about Drew Gulak and Evolve the other day for the list you can read on our website at the moment about weird reasons wrestlers hate each other. And Drew Gulak and Cody Rhodes, do you know this one?
I sort of half heard you and Andy talking about this when you got in.
Johnny Gargano's last night in Evolve, and Cody had not long been on the indies, so they're all just at the gimmick table selling the t-shirts, etc. And then somebody brings over some pizza And it's like, pizza for Johnny Gargano's last night, etc. And Drew Gulak's being like, Mr. Serious Wrestler. And Cody's about to eat a slice of pizza. And I think like, he just gives it to a fan instead. Because fans like, oh, well, free pizza. And Cody's like, yeah, you can have mine, whatever. And then Drew Gulak's like, giving pizza away to get over. Is that how it works around here, is it, Cody? And Cody's like, right, you're on my list forever.
Really?
Yeah, like, you just... Just he's doing everything he can to ingratiate himself to the scene. This like stern-faced arsehole is trying to like pie him off early doors.
We eat gruel and this all evolve.
God damn it.
You should learn like the taste of it. Maybe I want to get slightly nicer gruel for everybody. No, learn like the taste of the bad gruel, Cody.
Just like a mattress.
then it was time.
Gruel Duak.
Then it's time for Bird Person versus Ivy Nile.
For Gruelak.
That's better.
Ivy Nile did have a Bird Person in a sleep.
I love that. True Gruelak. How have we gone years watching his bang average 3.25-star matches and not called him Gruelak? Thank you for my Gruelak. Can I have some more? You want more? Here's the Evolve archive on the network.
Now you're all right.
Can I just watch that opener he had with Daniel Bryan instead, please? Man, Gruelak can really go. Who was he wrestling? Daniel Bryan.
Figures.
At one point in this match, Nile had Bird Person caught in a sleeper, but she Bird Person flies off the ropes to flip over Ivy Nile. German suplex, big roundhouse kick, 1, 2, 3, Bird Person's in the ladder match, but she can't fly.
Not bad at all, is.
Aye, decent.
I can't remember anything about it because it was a WWE TV match. It's approaching 12 hours after I watched it, but I remember it being not bad at all.
Fallon Henley's walking backstage, and then I wrote flashbang. I've written that down as well. Hang on, I've got to find this because there's some things on the... You know, there! Fallon Henley's walking backstage.
Done with the Sidgwick!
Because
the dankest button we've got.
Like, I know. There's a bit here where, like, there's some shouting, and then it's meant to be like, oh, God, flashbang, I'm confused. I got attacked. But it reminded me of, like, someone accidentally turned... Oh, turn the bloody wrong lights on here. I'll turn that off. And then, do you remember those? I don't know what they were called. I want to say poppers, but I think that's the wrong word. They used to throw them in the street, and when they hit the street, they'd make a little...
Firecrackers.
Yeah. But, like, not ones you... Like,
bangers.
Yeah.
We're not talking about them, Taz. Like, these are actually bangers.
Yeah. That was the loud noise.
We still get them for Christmas?
Yeah. Kids go.
Well, it's a tradition at our Christmas. One of them, that after the Christmas dinner, like the kids eat, like calm down a bit, just to lull them gently.
Make massive explosions.
Well. Indoor fireworks. You seen this? You heard about this?
No.
I've never done indoor fireworks.
Indoor fireworks. Basically, it's like different derivations of sparklers.
Right.
Oh, like there's sometimes like the things that like just glow a bit. Uh-huh. It's like magnesium. You know the magnesium thing in chemistry?
Yeah.
Like it's that, but like the... hide it in an indoor firework. Uh-huh. And there's, you know, that early South Park episode with the snake?
Yeah.
You can get them and they just go, it's like a big snake. It's like, that's class. Every single year, I'm like, I'll get amazed by
that's
it.
That's one of the things I've only ever seen on South Park and not imagine that they'd be real because it looks so fun on South Park.
Indoor fireworks for the office.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever seen the clip recently of that YouTuber Speed? Who
I'm not six.
Lit a Pikachu themed firework that was for outdoors in his bedroom.
No, but when we finish
recording, we'll watch
that in a bit. It's well worth a watch. So they attack Fallon Henley, but who should come to the rescue but her tag team partner and fellow champion Kiana James? And officials get in there. I rewatched this just for the bit with. Isla Dawn getting taken away. Well, I was going like, get your hands up here. Good sir. And Kiana's like, you okay, Fallon? And she's like, oh, yeah, but what are we going to do? And they're like, well, you can't tell Brooks. It's going to have to come from me. And I was like, oh, there's your hook for next week.
I'm probably not going to get the chance to preview Stand and Deliver.
No, probably not. But we'll talk about it a bit on next week's preview for NXT, I suppose.
I might forget what's just popped into my head. I come up with an alternate scenario. We'll just debate everything that could happen. I think what's going to happen is that live in LA, it's going to be this match. And the tag champs are going to lose. And then there's going to be this fight. Finally, it's going to be Fallon and Kiana. Post-match, something's going to happen. Out comes Jensen. And he's like, I can't stand to see the love of my life get hurt. Okay.
Oh my God.
And then Kiana James is going to say, look, I shouldn't have cheated on you with Sebastian. It seems very, very obvious that this is not some ruse. It's just being having it off with Sebastian. And then...
Von Schagner.
Shit.
Yeah. Late equalizer. I can't believe it.
It's like that's Steve Bruce one.
Aye.
2011, that was really annoying.
Asamoah Gyan, off his titties.
Yes.
Behind that goal.
And then... and then he's going to like say, look, I've been so blind about what's been happening in front of my very eyes. That yes. draws the confession from Kiana James saying, look, yeah, I have been cheating on you, Brooks. I'm sorry, but give me another chance. I aren't talking to you, Kiana.
Oh, my God.
Fallon, in front of my eyes the whole time, the love of my life was right there waiting for me. And I want to get down on one knee. Then I'm going to get down on both knees. And I'm going to lick that sucker out. Backstage, with your permission, of course.
I thought it was WrestleMania that was going Hollywood. This is cinema.
But that's what that's how
I have Fallon for you.
Yana will board it. Very good. But that's how it's going to be. He's going to seemingly direct his, it's been under my nose the whole time. Just like Sebastian's cock was under yours. and into your mouth. Fallon, I love you, but I was going to tell, it looks like I'm saying I love you to Kiana in spite of everything, but actually, Fallon, it's you.
What's Brog's got to say about all this?
See.
Well, he's a missing ingredient from this incredible moment, isn't he?
Well, you know how Dave Meltzer reported that there's plans to do stuff with the Bloodline saga between WrestleMania 39 and 40, with probably incorporating Jay versus Roman? Well, they're going to have a plan for this saga as well. At some point, Jensen is going to be at it like a rabbit with Fallon for like the next weeks. I can't believe this. Shagging's great. And they're in love and they're going to be doing it all the time. Increasingly, this will isolate Briggs.
Yeah.
And he's going to start to resent being a third wheel. And then he's going to turn on Jensen. Ever since you got your hole, you forgot about me. What's more important, my dumb ass or her, you know, body?
Or that Jezebel.
Yeah. That's how that's and scene.
Sure, it never ends, innit? So you got to have the...
got to have something, even if it breaks your heart.
Yeah.
Love it. Wesley's walking backstage and the cameraman starts asking him questions. Where's this come from? Suddenly the cameraman starts asking questions, but okay.
Wesley's like, who's asking me? It's invisible.
Yeah. And he said, they say, oh, who do you think's going to win? Who do you want? Or who do you think's going to win the Battle Royal? He says, I don't know, but I'll be excited to watch. And then he has to walk down the...
Corridor of Competitors.
He has to walk down the corridor of competitors. Because Jinder Mahal, Dijak, and Dabba Kato all walk up and go, I'll see you standing in the liver. And I was like, was that a
good... What are they all doing there? Can we do a bit of inside baseball here?
Yeah,
go on. Told us to follow us upstairs to the podcast studio, did Will Bourne, about 5 minutes before you recorded, and that was, You could have did it live.
can't, I don't know how to set up the echo, so.
Let's have another one.
Okay.
Again.
Wesley had to walk down the...
Corridor of Competitors.
You had actually, you were saying that, like, Stacks was taking a while getting on to you today, so you obviously had a bit of time to kill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Then it was time for, I should save the echo for this, the great debate.
Oh, God.
With Blake Howard hosting.
Who's that?
No, what's that?
I'll tell you what, you talk about this absolute drivel that I couldn't even like on an ironic level, and I'll Google who Blake Howard is.
Okay. So the great debate, of course, Hamflet, is a series of one-on-one debates in an auditorium completely split down the middle between JSU students and cult members.
Yep.
So the first two are Robbie Fowler and Duke Bloody Hudson. And Blake asks how they approach inclusion. Robbie says, Reed Fowler says, togetherness is a founding principle of... he says, Ava, no surname, it's the Rock's daughter, presented Duke with a gift and we're going to welcome him with open arms. And Duke said, yeah, she did give me a mask. I wasn't really prepared for this. I don't know. University's got passion, a sense of belonging. I suppose it's nice to feel included, I guess. And he sort of shuffles back to his seat and Andre Chase brilliantly goes, Duke, what the f*** was that?
Blake Howard was simply Blake Chadwick, a commentator on the Indies who's now going by the name of Blake Howard, and he was hired by WWE earlier this year, and he's a full-time member of the broadcast team, so welcome.
Welcome. Then it's Thea Hale of Choo-Choo and Ava, no surname, it's the Rock's daughter. They're next. How does the group make you feel safe? Ava spouts some bollocks about being the jism's tree or whatever. Chase U pretends to be safe, but the schism has a wall against negativity. And then Thea Hale comes through with a really rather fast speech, but well-prepared, good, A+. Webster's Dictionary defines safety as blah, 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 blah. She's learned healing connections from Chase U. The schism brainwash you believing in safety. That's hazardous to the mind, body, and soul. And quite rightly, a round of applause for her after this. Chase says, where the hell did that come from? She says, I don't know, I blacked out.
I can't like that bit. It's the only bit of this I liked.
Then it was time for the two big dogs, Andre Chase and Joe Gacy. And they're asked how prepared the other members of their team basically are. For what, I don't know what for, but just generally, I suppose. And Andre Chase goes to answer, but Joe Gacy cuts him off, says, your team aren't prepared. You've got a marble-mouthed doubter and a reprogrammed wind-up toy. Tally the scores, mate. But before they can do that, Tyler Beatt wants to belatedly throw his hat into the ring. And so, thankfully, there's an extra member of the team. Mick Jagger is there. And Blake says, sum up your group. And Jagger goes, simple. Four roots. And all the creepy bastards go, entry. And Bate does this rousing, inspirational locker room speech you'd see on douchebag movies from back in the day. Takes a lot to succeed in NXT, including a big, strong, open mind, because he's a big, strong boy. Chase U is a place for people to thrive. The growth of Chase U is the growth of NXT, and that's the something that Jism has never and will never achieve. And it basically gets to Tyler Bate and Andre Chase challenging the Jism to a four-person mixed tag match at Stand and Deliver. Joe Gacy just goes, no. Got nothing to offer me. We fought in singles competitions. We fought in like six-man matches. Why would I bother with all this? And they go to leave, and then Duke Hudson, this is the point that took my breath away. I audibly gasped watching this morning and said,
no, you didn't.
What? Ask Anna Louise. What have you done, Duke? Because he says, we'll put up the school. The winner gets the control of Chase U. Gacy accepts, and there's looks between everyone here.
It's like the worst college movie ever. It's like the worst college movie ever.
This was piss poor, apart from Thea Hill saying she blacked out, which I thought was pretty funny. But I think it was effective because I can't wait for the match.
I've watched a college movie where one of the gags is the fill up the donuts or the...
cream... things, I think.
Pastries with dog cum.
Yeah. Mm. Van Wilder.
Van Wilder. Von Wagner party liaison. And, I think the best parties are spontaneous, actually.
I don't know how to write, all bloody rare. Second year. It's organized. Bloody great. Best nights of my life, though.
So we go back to the pub, and boy, have they had a night. There's a chair turned over. Gallus, Creed
Some
Brothers.
Hair slightly askew and a slightly and one button undone on a shirt. It's been wild.
The bloody triangles are
easy. Oh, God.
You ever had a drink before? What are you? What are they doing?
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, make this look really like it's been something you almost don't want to be a part of.
It's like greeting.
Put a dart behind your ear.
Greeting your guests at house party with a lampshade already on your head.
Yeah.
Welcome, good evening. Bit mad here.
Don't have to drink. Don't have to be mad at drink here, but it helps.
So, yeah, they're all, oh, bloody hell. And Tony says, oh, boys, look at the time. It's been great, but me and Stax have got a thing we got to take care of. And Stax says, nice place you got, though. I need a broom.
Terrible Stax impression.
Rubbish.
You're bad at that.
And Julius Creed's like, don't you know a cleaning service? Mafia boys. Tony says, oh, I mean we do, but not the one you're thinking of.
More admitting murder on
TV. Yeah.
Brutus says, oh, it's been fun. And Wolfgang struggles to get out. Oh, why has it got to end? There's always that one person. You're like, come on, boys.
And of course, it's Wolfgang. No other personality but other than how much he can drink.
Yeah.
It's an absolute boring. Why are you on telly, man?
Barry from the pub.
Yeah.
Then now forever.
Yeah.
Everyone got what they came for is the answer. And Coffee says, let's bring this fun to Stand and Deliver and we'll have ourselves a triple threat. Don't forget to tip the bartender.
Oy. Terrible.
Cringeworthy.
Absolutely terrible.
But you get your match.
Yeah. You know,
that's the
you get your split.
I thought it was going to be like a pub fight when they said, oh, let's take this fun to Stand and Deliver. I don't think that's the case.
That's going to be a 3¼
straight
star.
Up triple threat match.
So 3¼ star triple threat match.
Oh, I was hoping they were going to bring that brilliant pub that they built backstage out in front of the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
With all, what, three pieces of
furniture.
I love
how everything falls apart. I can't do that. It looked rubbish. We'll do it in the first place. Shawn Michaels, jerk. Arrogant jerk.
So there we have it. Yes. Tony D and Stax, the family, could be tag team champions.
Mm-hmm.
Stand and Deliver. So could Tiffany Stratton. She could be women's champion. And Chase, you could have. And again, all the opposites could happen. And my weekend could be ruined. Anyway.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hi, Stax. Feeling a bit rough, are we?
Oh, my God. You should have seen what we got up to. There was chairs slightly askew. Shut up, you.
You got the same watch as Wilborn?
Oh, indeed. 2-for-1.
Why did you take Wilborn's watch? Wilborn, not for my personal space.
He said he needed it for the work purposes to make sure he took his plane on time. I said, shut up, you!
So you're rough.
What's the deal?
Were you rough?
Oh.
What's your drink? Just what's your drink of choice?
I call it the Godfather.
What's in it?
What's in it?
There is actually a cocktail called the Godfather, yeah.
What's in that, Cedric?
Maybe it's just one specific to the Longship pub in Heaven. Just Jack Daniels and Coke and one more thing to make it not a Jack and Coke.
Yeah. It's made with whiskey and amaretto. Blended scotch is the classic choice, although some people choose to use a single malt or even bourbon. The latter makes a fine drink, but one features bourbon baking spice notes rather than Scotch's hallmark flavors of honey, heather, and soft smoke.
So it was a good guess then.
Yeah.
Pretty spot on there, Sid. What's the, what's, oh, wait a second.
It's time to play the game!
Did you boys, someone snitch to me, play a game about what I was going to say the deal with?
Yes. Yeah. We were just having a joke. We were just having a bit of laugh in the office. Stacks don't hurt us. But like,
what? Didn't realise Stacks could use the buttons. That's taking things to another level there.
So we were just talking in the office earlier. We were trying to guess what the theme of your jokes would be. And then we arrived at, or at least I did, alcohol/pubs.
Pubs felt right.
Close. What's the deal with hangovers, Sid?
Hangover. Yeah. I don't know the exact science behind this, unfortunately. But the deal with hangovers is that if you consume a lot of alcohol, particularly I find over like a short, intense period, rather than day drinking, which I'm usually quite all right after, you just feel really worse for wear. I think it's got something to do with your hydration levels, but you get a headache, sense of lethargy, profound levels of hunger.
Yeah.
And
intense anxiety and shame.
Yeah. Someone I used to know, and I hate her for it. I really hate it for it, because I never used to get that until someone told me it was a thing. She labeled it the guilty feeling, and I never had that until she. And now I just feel like, I just talk a load of crap. Was I that much of an arsehole? So that is an attendant symptom of a hangover. And you know, people say there's cures, like fast food, blend of paracetamol and ibuprofen. Nothing works other than endure the day and have a good night's sleep. That is a deal with hangover, Starks.
Thanks, Sig. You know, some people say you can counteract a hangover by drinking non-alcoholic beer, but I always say that drinking non-alcoholic beer is like using a vibrator with no batteries. Sure, it fills you up, but with none of the buzz, huh? Ah! Fiddle blue for the dance, huh? Three jokes for you, Sig. What did the ghost say when it woke up with a bad hangover?
It's got to be something to do with spirits, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, of course. So what did the ghost say when he woke up with a... I had too many spirits?
Yeah.
I had too many spirits.
Probably better than the actual punchline here. What did the ghost say when it woke up with a bad hangover? Oh, boy. I really need to lay off the booze.
That's good.
What do you call a hangover, Hamflick? Question joke number two. What do you call a hangover when you're alone in Spain? Picture that.
Bliss, I imagine.
That'd be incredible.
That'd be fine.
A hangover when you're alone in Spain. Rough. Worse for wear. I feel like this is an American website. I mean, Stax is American, so he might not have...
Barcelona. Alone.
It's
not getting me any closer to the answer.
But no, when he says, like, alone, it's usually a synonym of the punchline.
By yourself.
I'm Barcelona. I'm hanging out my Arcelona.
Great.
Close!
Hanging out of my Arcelona.
What do you call a hangover when you're alone in Spain? Barf alone.
I don't know about you, Sax. That's making me feel sick.
Final question joke for you today. Sig, what does sex on the beach and American beer have in common? Sex on the beach and American beer have in common.
I think the joke is he's not talking about the cocktail.
Yeah.
He's talking.
What's he talking about, Sig?
He's talking about full penetrative intercourse by a body of water with loads of sand.
Right.
Punchline again, Starks?
What does sex on the beach and American beer have in common?
Well, we know about American beer. It's considered a bit fatter, weaker than beer from the rest of the world, isn't it?
I think it's going to be like a Spurs.
Like a rhyming one.
Yeah, like one's a Coors Light.
Yeah.
The other's...
Full penetrative
sex. Yeah.
You're
insane.
Yeah.
One of them's Bud Light. We'll get there with this.
The other's Bud Bite. It's normally like a spoonerism, isn't
it? Yeah, so no, it's a spoonerism. One of them is Pabst Blue Ribbon. The other one is Poppin' Blue Balls.
By the sea.
Yeah.
Good, but it's not right. What does sex on the beach and American beer have in common? Both are f***ing close to water. See you later, guys.
Yeah, it took us a while, that one.
Bye, Sax.
Anywhere near the main event?
Main event time?
Yeah.
Ron Breaker and Carmelo Hayes versus Pretty Daly.
The coexisted because they really respect each other so much, and that's the thread here. Even though, are they worth the respect? Judging by the body of work, I'm not sure. Follow me at M. Sidgwick.
Pretty Deadly look pretty decent to start off with. Working over.
They look pretty decent. They turn baby face and they're just good people. They help out. That's pretty decent.
Carmelo Hayes fights back. Breaker gets in there for a nice standoff with Pretty Deadly. It all kicks off. I did like the bit where Breaker helped Hayes run up the turnbuckle and then just hoid him across the ring onto them. They clear the ring and stand tall to go to a break. When we come back, Breaker gets over to get the hot tag to Mello. Comes in. There's a nice spot where he sits on the middle rope and suplexes Wilson on top of Prince. But he gets cut off and they work him over. Another hot tag, this time for Bron Breakker, who's a house of fire. Runs in, chucks Pretty Deadly around with suplexes, pulls down the straps on his singlet, yells out, jumps off the top rope with a flying bulldog to get a two count. There's almost a spot where they can't coexist. Breakker and Hayes almost collide into each other. Carmelo Hayes gives Wilson a code breaker. Breakker hits a spear, tags in Hayes. Hayes comes off the top rope with his flying leg drop. Nothing but net. 1, 2, 3. They celebrate. They can coexist. And post-match, there's a little moment where Carmelo Hayes doesn't really want to hand it over straight away, but he gives the NXT Championship, for now at least, to Bron Breakker ahead of their title match a week on Saturday.
Just so much respect between these two men, man. And they've earned every bit of it. 45% of the time.
Every goddamn bit of it. They will give you their blood, their sweat, and their tears. This is all right. Like, genuinely, some of the bits in it. Like, I like that suplex spot as well. Identified as well. But, I don't know. Like, was this better because Mello and Bron are sometimes better in tag matches where you can get the benefit of hot tags, where you can get the better of benefit of double teams and all the extra...
All that great stuff without the bits between the great
stuff.
Yeah,
the stuff that tag matches can offer you against, like, really great bumping, working heels that Pretty Deadly are as well. So as much as I enjoyed this, again, to sort of reiterate the point from the opening promo, I just think it's a really ineffective sell of a match. I just think they've failed. Because they're telling a big lie, and they're thinking if we tell it loud enough, people will just believe it and buy it. And I don't think it's going to feel true. The match has got to hugely, hugely over-deliver on the night.
I just thought it was really interesting that for years now, we've had can they coexist storylines with some of the biggest stars in the women's division of WWE, Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair and Asuka. Take your pick, basically, in recent years of this storyline just being used as a lazy way to get to a title match. The one time some men do it, they get it right.
Yeah. That's WWE for you.
Sure is. That old WWE.
All women secretly disguised as spies of each other, Renee. Joey Lawler, you old... I was going to say something libelous there.
Misogynist.
Yeah.
So anyway, massive stand and deliver ramifications on this show. Let us know your thoughts on it on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hanfler at...
Michael Hanfler.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at...
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We'll be back a little bit later to preview AEW Dynamite. But for now, this has been the NXT review.
Bye, Adam.
Thanks to the Dadley Boys, to Stax, to the Elephant, the Cow. Thank you for joining us. We're quiet this week. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, they're not over anymore.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.